got a lot of alumnus. That's a simple. We'll start from the beginning of the Gemara, and then Alpha and Beis. Okay, we had a bunch of machlokot v'chaim and v'hilchot. I'm going to go through one at a time to explain them. Tanur Rabbanan. The first one is the order of making kiddush. Do we make Hagefen first, or do we make the Mikdash the day? Hashem's the kind of Shabbos or the day. Which one comes first? Tanur Rabbanan. Bichavi says you put the Mikdash Shabbos first and then Hagefen. Why? Shayom Gorim Liyashiyavim, because that's basically what caused everything in the first place. If not for the fact that Shabbos, then nothing special about the wine. We wouldn't make any bracha on the wine either. That can't go first, so you have to put the Gorim, whatever is like the Iker, that comes first. The Kvar Kiddush Hayom Vadayin Yayim Loba. Second reason is that the mitzvah that's already sort of upon you, that you have to take care of in the first place, that comes first. But the first thing that was the first chiyuv to deal with, that's the fucking surveyor moment. The first chiyuv you had was the mitzvah of Shabbos, like that happened when Shkia happened. Then there was mitzvah Shabbos. During making the bracha on wine, Hagefen only applies from when you have wine in front of you. Good. So that's why the two reasons Beit Hill, Beit Shammai has to make the bracha of Mekadosh Shabbos first. Beit Hillel Omrim, the sixth line to the bottom of the mouth and base. Mevracha Yayin, Vacha Mevracha Yom, She Yayin Gorim, Lekedusha Shetamir. On the other hand, really wine is what's causing the bracha to be made, because although it's true, like sort of what's the ikker, the main thing today really is not the wine, it's sort of the day. But as a Hechi Timsi, as a practical thing, you can't possibly make the Hagefen, or you can't make a Mekadosh Shabbos as a standalone bracha without doing it on a cup of wine. That's how they're attacking it. So if this is how they're attacking it, so then the yayin is making it possible. So if it's making it possible, it should go first. That sort of answers up the first reason. Then it gives another reason. Dvar acher, second reason, because a yayin tadira, because the yom and tadira tadir, she knew tadir, tadir kodem. Two brachas, one's more common than the other, so a gefen is more common. You can do it any time during the week, and you also do it for lots of other mitzvos. We do it for Havdalah, we do it for Bris, and 10 other reasons. So the Geffen is more common, therefore it comes before Mekadosh Shabbos. Halacha, the Bris concludes that in this Machalot, that's definitely what we do. Whenever we make a Kiddush, we always start with a Geffen, and then we go to Mekadosh Shabbos or Yom Tov. My Dvar Acher, why do we need a second reason for Beit Hillel? Why did Beit Hillel throw in the Tadr Shani Tadr reason? Why do they need that? So the Gemara, Chitim, Hachanami, Hacha, sorry, Hasam, Tarti, Hachachada. Maybe the reason that we should, in fact, follow Beit Shammai is because Beit Shammai has two reasons, Beit Hillel only has one reason. So therefore, no, don't worry, Hachanami, Tarti. So we had to back it up for Beit Hillel, give him a second reason, support him with a second reason. Birchas Ayayin Tadir, Birchas Ayom in Tadir, that's the second reason. Tadr Shein Tadr, Tadr Kodim. Any more common mitzvah, that comes first. Good. The last line of the Bryce was, Halach, Yidir Rabbi Hillel, Pshita. With Fal Beit Hillel, of course, that's true. That's true of every time we have a Machlok Yisham Beit Hillel. Then Nafka Bakol, there was a Bakol, a heavenly voice that came out and said, it was Fal Beit Hillel, so why do we need over here a Bryce to tell me this? Like, it's true always. Says the Gemara, two reasons. This Bryce was taught before the Bakal came out, okay, so therefore it was unclear. In this particular case, the Bryce said we should have a deal. Or, that, yes, there was a Bakal, but maybe the Bakal is meaningless. Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is, whenever there's a Bakal establishing the Halacha, we say, Lo Shabayim Hi. We don't listen to the Bakal. We don't listen to heavenly voices. We just figure out the halacha based on our own principles of what the halacha should be, like follow Rov and the like. And therefore, we don't follow the Bakal. This particular case, we have a Bryce that tells us the rabbis decided we should follow Beit Hillel. Okay? So, Tosus deals with a very big question just in terms of like following Bakals. He says it's a little bit contradiction in the halacha. We don't. So, right now, he's saying, look, we follow Beit Hillel. But it says over here, maybe it's not because of the Bakal. Emesh Gichum Bakal.
On the other hand, we follow Rabbi Yeshua. We follow Rabbi Yeshua against the Bat Kol. In other words, one second. Let me say this more clearly. We follow Beit Hillel always because of the Bat Kol, and we follow Rabbi Yeshua in his discussion with Rabbi Eliezer when they had a big machlok with Tamar Shachnai, and Rabbi Eliezer made a bunch of miracles. We follow Rabbi Yeshua because we said Lo B'Shamayim. So we pass on Lo B'Shamayim, we follow Rabbi Yeshua over Rabbi Eliezer. That's great. But on the other hand, how then could we follow Beit Hillel over Beit Shammai if the reason we do that, besides this one case, generally speaking, it was not voted on, it was always just a case that we follow Beit Hillel over Beit Shammai because of the Bat Kol. The Tosa gives an answer that there's a different guiding principle. We're not doing it because of the Bat Kol. Happens to be there is a Bat Kol that says to follow Beit Hillel. The reason we follow Beit Hillel over Beit Shammai is because they're majority. Okay? So you can follow a Bat Kol if they're telling you to do the right thing. But since Bat Kol tells us to follow the principle anyway, we would do, so great, we do that. Otherwise, we wouldn't follow the Bat Kol. Right, we don't follow the Bat Kol if it's just a Yachid versus the Rambam to follow the Yachid. But we should have to always point out, for the Rambam, it's not a question because the Rambam never quotes this idea that we follow Bat Kol. We're not supposed to follow Lo Shamayim. That's what the Rambam always writes, that we follow Lo Shamayim. We don't follow that. We always follow Rov. So that comes to the same conclusion as Tosafot. For Tosafot, this was a question. One other thought, just maybe it'll stick in your head, it's just interesting. There's a way to explain this Machlokes Shammai Beit Hillel. In the Yerushalmi, they bring it this way over here, and also it sounds like this, at least in the Havamina in the Gemara and Tzvachin. What's the Machlokes Shammai Beit Hillel? Whether you do Geffen first or Kiddush first, is whether you have two mitzvahs, one's Mekudosh and one's Tadir, which one comes first? Mekudosh is the holier item, and you have something that's Tadir, which one, something that's common, which one comes first? So Geffen's more Tadir, but Kiddush Hayom maybe more Mekudosh because it's more special, maybe which one should come first? You have those two mitzvahs. So it's good for like a Korban Tamid and for a Korban Musaf, perhaps, or in that topic. That's where this comes up. L'maisa, that's the Yerushalmi's application of this. But if we follow Beit Hillel, then it would mean we would say the brachas Tadir beat in Kurdish. Okay, just L'maisa, the Bible doesn't really sound like that.
Is that like Talis and so on? At all, same thing?
Yes, that's a good. That's a great explanation. Talis could be. Talis is more tadir because you do it every day of the week. And tefillin is less tadir, but it's more mekudesh. That's a great thing. So we. Oh, it's interesting. Good harik. We do talis first. Tadir first. Good. It's an interesting topic. It's too broad to get into right now, but that's the Yerushalmi over here talks about this. Rishetter mentioned in the afternoon was when they bury someone, do they put on the Shabbos talus or the weekday talus of the guy? They usually wrap them in a talus. Which one should they do? It's Tadir the weekday, but Shabbos more Mekudesh. So says the Gemara back into this Machlokas. Does Beit Shammai consistently say the Berachos Hayom is Adif? Savri Beit Shammai, Berachos Hayom Adifa, that putting the Ikar of the day, like Mekash Shabbos or whatever the theme of the day is, that comes first. Is that true? Vatanya, when it comes to Abdallah, we have the following brisa. Hanas the Beit Ovi Motzi Shabbos Baruch Yain Vam Or Val Bezam Baruch Omer Abdallah. So when you're making Abdallah, first you do Hagefen, and then you put the light, and then you do the Besamim, and then you do Abdallah, which is Hamavdom Mekoshachol. Don't you see the way he said to do Abdallah? Well, Vim Ein Lo Alakos Echad Minichal LaAcher Hamazon V'Shashan Kulon LaAcherav. So what you're doing is, first, if you have one cup for benching of Rosh Hashanah, Brachas HaKos, that it was a mitzvah to do Brachas HaKos, and you know when you do Bracha HaKos, so you need to use a cup of wine, and when you have Dali, you need to have a cup of wine. If you only have one cup, and you can't do both, you can't have two cups, so you just do them together. So how would you then do them together? Menichah LaAcher Mazon, first you do Brachas Mazon, but Shalshal, and then you deal with each one of those other brachas afterwards. Mishashal and Kulam Acharos, you say them all after you do the Birkat HaMazon. So you're holding one cup, you say Birkat HaMazon, and then you do Havdalah right then. Okay. Anyway, though, for our purpose, we're going to say now this brisa is definitely Beit Shammai. We're going to explain that in a moment. And if it's going to be the authored by Beit Shammai, you see a proof, then when Beit Shammai told you how to do Havdalah, he told you to do Havdalah at the end of the series of Brachas Havdalah. First, you do Geffen first. So it's the opposite of what he said by Kiddush. Right? That's the basic question of the Gemara. Why by Kiddush does Beit Shammai say you do Mekad Shabbos and then HaGeffen? But he agrees to what we say. We basically do. We do Geffen and then Bracha Ma'ado. Okay? So how do we know this, by the way? How do we know this is Beit Shammai? Hi, me might have Beit Shammai. He doesn't Beit Hill. Meaning, this is not a proof at all. This is irrelevant. This is Beit Hill. No. Let's look at the Tani Mechor Vagah B'Sam. Note that when we mention Havdalah in this brisa, the two middle brachas, the Ma'orei Ha'ish and Besamim, first Ma'orei Ha'ish comes before Besamim. Beit Hill says the opposite, and that is, you know, the halacha. We all know we do Besamim. We do Besamim, and then we do Ma'orei Ha'ish. So good. So now we know the brisa is Beit Shammai. If the brisa is Beit Shammai, we have a proof that Beit Shammai says Havdalah, you do Havdalah at the end. Very good. And, okay, we're going to have to address that. But along the way, the Gemara says, well, not so fast. Maybe it's actually not the opinion of Beit Shammai. Man Shammai lei eile hai svara Beit Shammai. Who is the one who said that you put Ma'or before Besamim? That's Beit Shammai. Ditani. And the Gemara says, where do we hear this? There's a bigger machlokas tonight, which Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, how to learn the machlokas Beit Shammai Hill. And we just presented Rabbi Huda's version of Machlok Beit Shammai Hillel. The Mishnah Ben Hillel Lo Nechalku says Amar Detai Nam Rabbi Huda Lo Nechalku Beit Shammai Hillel Al Almozim Shvutchila Havdalah Shvusof. Rabbi Huda says the Machlok Beit Shammai Hillel about the order of Havdalah has nothing to do with if you're going to do a combination Havdalah with Birkan Almozim together with Havdalah. No one argues that Birkan Almozim come first because you ate your meal first. That definitely comes first. Havdalah very much for sure comes at the end. That's not under question. What were they arguing about? One particular, you know, specific question. Ma'or versus Besamim. Which one comes first? And I think the Gemara will describe this later, not in today's math. But, you know, which one do you get the Ahna first? Which one came first in history? Okay, great, whatever. Which one, the Machlok Beit Shammai Hillel is about, does Ma'or Eish supersede Besamim? Ama Nechlikol Ma'or Besamim, that Beit Shammai Omrim Ma'or Vagab Besamim. Beit Hillel Omrim Besamim Ma'or. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, our proof so far stands that we know the earlier price that we just talked about is found Beit Shammai's opinion because it says or and then Besamim, and yet it put Havdalah at the end. So I think, well, wait a minute. That's maybe this price was authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and then of course you'd have a proof that it is Beit Shammai, and then you know if it's Beit Shammai, you have a proof how he says Havdalah. But we might have Beit Shammai, he alibi Rabbi Yehuda, don't be Hillel, he alibi Rabbi Meir. Maybe this is a totally different version of Mechlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. This is like Rabbi Meir's version of it. So we have in our Mishnah, that's according to Rabbi Meir, the version of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, that's like the sixth line of the Mishnah I have. Beit Shammai says, Ner Mazim B'Sam of the Havdalah. And Beit Hillel says, Ner B'Sam of Mazon the Havdalah. So their argument is if you have Birkat HaMazon, you're doing this combination Birkat HaMazon and Havdalah, what do you do first? Mechlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is where to put the Mazon compared to Besamim. Everybody agrees Birkat HaMazon is prior to the Havdalah. And everybody agrees, you know, Ner, Ma'or Eish comes before Besamim. The only thing is, you know, which one flip-flops between Besamim and Mazon? Right? Both of them is Hana questions. All right. So Besamim or Birkat HaMazon, which one comes first? Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So maybe if you follow even Beit Hillel of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir's version of Machlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, so then this Brisa can follow his opinion. Because according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, according to Rabbi Meir, it comes out Ma'ore Eish, Ma'or comes before Besamim. So this top Brisa that Ma'or comes before Besamim, we say, oh, that got to be Beit Shammai, because it's Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beit Shammai, that was the Machlok, do you put Ma'or before Besamim? And we said Ma'or comes before Besamim, Beit Shammai. Not so fast. In the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, that's not the Machlokas. They have totally different Machlokas. Besamim versus Birkat HaMazon. Says the Gemara, maybe Dilma Beit Hillel, he alibi Rabbi Meir. Lo salka daida, that can't be attributed, this verse can't be attributed to Beit Hillel at all, or Rabbi Meir within Beit Hillel, it doesn't make sense. Diktani hacha v'anita, v'anitin, Beit Shammai omrim ner mazom b'samim havdala, Beit Hillel omrim ner b'samim mazom havdala, exactly what we talked about, that first, Havdalah definitely comes at the end. And then Nair definitely comes before Besam. No mechlug is whether Muslim comes before or after Besam. Because the Hasav of Braisa, it's all in the Braisa that we're discussing under discussion. This name Braisa, Kitanim Inlo, Elikosechem, and Yichel Acharam, Muslim, Mishachar, and Kulim Acharab. It says very carefully that when you do this combination of Abdullah, Birkin, and Muslim, you put Birkin, and Muslim first. Mishachar, and Kulim Acharab, after you do Birkin, and Muslim. Okay, so you deal with the thing that Mishachar had upon you first, which is Birkin, and Muslim. And then you deal with all the series of Brachas of Abdullah. So, don't you see? It cannot be right, Mary's version of Beit Hillel. Right, because in this particular question, whether or not, in terms of Ma'or versus Samim, the Braisa could definitely fit with right there. But in terms of Birkat HaMazon versus Havdalah, it can't because compared to every other Bracha, this Braisa said, first you do Havdalah, then you do Ma'or, then you do Besamim, and then you do Havdalah. And that does not correspond to either opinion of Hashem or Behol of the Mishnah or according to Meir, because according to him, you put first, Ma'or, Ner, and then you do Mazon or Besam, depending if you reach every hill. Does that so far make sense? Shema mina b'chamahi, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the bottom line, that is the proof. And now we've summed up that this Bryce, just to repeat the basic point, we said we had a Bryce. The Bryce has told us that you do Birkin and Mazon, then you do Ma'or, then you do Besam, then you do Havdalah. So you see very good proof that whenever we're discussing should you do Yayin and then you do Havdalah, the answer is, a Kiddush HaYom should come after. The theme of the day comes after HaGefen, unlike what we said by Kiddush for Beit Shammai, the exact opposite Svara. And we tried along the way to prove this was actually Beit Shammai. We said it must be Beit Shammai because according to Yehuda's version, he puts Ma'or before Besam, and this Bryce is telling you to put Ma'or before Besam. And then we say, well, not so fast. Maybe it's really Rabbi Meir's version of Beit Hillel, because according to Rabbi Meir, everybody agrees to Ma'or comes before Besam. We said, no, that's not a possibility, because he told us to put the Birkin HaMazon at the very beginning, and according to Rabbi Meir, that was actually a matter of dispute, and Beit Hillel would not say to put the Mazon at the very beginning. No one would. Okay, so, Shema Minol, this is Beit Shammai. Bottom line, the question between Havdalah and Kiddush, answer the Gemara, it's two different types of themes. Distinguish Rabbi Beit Shammai between Havdalah and Kiddush. Gemara says you're right. Kasar Beit Shammai Shani Iyula Yoma Miafuki Yoma. There's an interesting Kiddush going into the day and Afuki Yoma leaving, coming out of the day, escorting the Shabbos queen out with Havdalah. Miafuki Yoma, right? Sorry, Miafuki Yoma Iyula Yoma Kamida Makamina Le Adiv. Whatever you can do earlier, the better. So the sooner you can make Mekadesh Shabbos, the better, because it's Rizos. You want to invite the Shabbos queen. You want to Mekadesh the day, sanctify the day with your brachas, so that's great. The sooner the better. Afuke yoma, however, taking out the day, we want to extend Shabbos another minute, to the longer the better, because, or even whatever, 30 more seconds, to rearrange the brachas of Geffen at the beginning and then Havdalah at the end, because we want to take out Shabbos and not to look like we're rushing out. It should be the first thing we can say possible is Havdalah. We want to take Havdalah at the very end. Okay. So Rabbi Shammai, Birkat HaMazon, Tuna, Koz. By the way, though, this whole discussion was talking about this combination of Havdalah, Birkat HaMazon, if you only had one cup. So does Rabbi Shammai really think you need to make Birkat HaMazon ala Koz? That's not. Bala HaMiyayin Lachar HaMazon, Nibin, Shammai, Oto Koz, Rabbi Shammai, Rim, Birkat HaYayin. So if somebody, nothing to do with Havdalah, let's say he has a kosher Havdalah, but they're at the end of any meal, and they want to drink wine as part of the meal, or they want to drink wine as the brachas kosher for the mazon, but Hill says, it doesn't matter, do whatever you want, first make the brachas yayin as part of your meal, and then you can go ahead and make brachas mazon without a kosher. So my love, and mevarich ilave v'shasilei, aren't we talking about, we made hagefen, in the meal, you drink it, right? You made the bracha on it, and then you drink it, and then you make a bracha on the mazon without any kos. So you see, Beit Shammai thinks there's no point in having a kos shel bracha to hold up the cup of wine when you're making a bracha on the mazon. Lo, the bracha levin manachle. No, he just said you make hagefen. You don't have to drink it, and rather you hold it for the rest of the bench, and then you don't drink it. Wait a minute, it says the Gemara. How is that possible? How can you possibly make a bracha hagefen and then bench? Hamar ma'am mevarach shor sheyitom. Do you need to taste some of the thing that you made the bracha on? To time, you're right, you taste a little bit. If you taste it, well, then you've invalidated the cup. Cup of bracha has to be like a full cup. And if you taste a little bit of it, now it's pogum, it's incomplete. So This is brought in the halacha. This type of context, kosher bracha needs not to be pogam, needs to be full. It's not so hard to fix. You can add a little more wine from the bottle or something like that. So says the Gemara, wait, to time lay b'yaday. He put a little on his hand. He sipped it up off his hand. He licked it off his hand, and that's how he drank some of the wine. But he didn't pogam it because he didn't drink from the cup. So he spilled a little bit on his hand, and he drank from his hand. That's how he drank from the cup. That's what his bracha was. Bracha l'vatel. So he made bracha on a gaffin, and he shook the cup a tiny bit. Something came on his finger, or he stuck his finger into the cup, and that made it. Now this did not make a pogam because he didn't drink from the cup, but he didn't make a bracha l'vatel because of the bracha she ate him. He had to taste that which he made bracha. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Amar Mar Kos Bracha Shana Shir. Don't you need a certain shear of grape juice or wine for the kosher bracha? The Gemara says, are you diminishing that shear by drinking a little bit? The Gemara says, no, tefem is shear. You have more than a shear. You don't have a revius, you have a revius plus. The Gemara says, wait a minute. If you have plus and more than a revius, so then why are you dealing with this whole situation? Why don't we just say, do two cups? Have one cup in the middle of the meal, one cup for Brekhut Mazel. What are you dealing with having to skimp on one cup? And so, ha imeh jamelikos ech oto kos ketan. The Bryce's the whole situation talking about a guy who only has one cup. If a guy only has one cup, then what should he do? Should he have it in the middle of the meal or should he have it after the Brekhut Mazel? The Gemara says, so it's, you can't say nafishalei tfeh mishirei, he had more than a shir. Where's the no. Trey lohavi. He doesn't have two cups. He does have more than one. So in other words, he has 1.1 or whatever it is. He's a revius and a half. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have two. So it wouldn't work to split it up. He can't do a cup in the middle of the meal plus a cup in the beginning of the meal. That's not impossible. But could he just do a revius and a little bit more and then stick his finger in or have a little bit drop out and then drink from it? Sure, he could. And therefore, so that's what he would do. But Rabbi Chiya taught that the Chamai says, Mamish, you drink the whole cup. That when you have a cup of wine and you want to say, go ahead, drink your wine, make the bracha gefen, drink your whole wine, and then you do benching. There's no point in having a bracha zakos. Umar said, yes, it's true. So we can uphold what we said before. Everything we said before is true, but yes, there are other opinions in Bichamai. Basically, there's machlokas within Bichamai. Some say Bichamai thinks there's no point in having brachos akos. For Brachot Mazon, some say there is a point in having brachos ayayin al kos. That was the Mishal Shalom Kulam Acharav. You can do some combination of Brachot Mazon and Adal. And the one we're dealing with now says it doesn't matter. The other time that you may have heard of such a thing that you want to spill some of the wine onto your finger is like by a wedding, the Masar Kedusha makes the Hagefen for the Brachos Ederson. So they make Hagefen, and then they make, Asalana Ta'arusa, Mahetalana Nesuos, make the Bracha, and then he gives it to the Chasim Lekal. The rabbi typically does not drink anything. That's the minhag. The Rav Chaim had a Chumrah. He felt, how can he not drink anything? It's more like a Bracha Zanen, and you can't use Yatzamotzi. I can't make a bracha for you, and you drink, usually, except by mitzvahs, by havdalah and kiddush, but by brachas and you can't do that yet. The person makes the bracha. So what he would do is, he'd shake the cup a little bit, have a little bit of wine on his finger, and then he'd drink from the cup. Whatever the wine was on his finger, so he'd lick that up. And lamaisa, this way he would drink from the cup, and then give the chasim kal a drink also. Lamaisa, not everybody does it. Rosh Hashanah doesn't do that. I think the Rav didn't do that. That's not it's not the common minhag, but it's a discussion. Anyway, back to our discussion. Back to next machlokas. Okay, on all these, it's not necessary to say, but we do follow the Hillel. Okay, we'll discuss them more in depth each one. Anyway, the next machlokas, which I mean, Hillel, is should you wash before you do the Kiddush? Okay? The Chama says you wash and then do Kiddush, and Hillel says you do Kiddush first, and then you wash for Amotzi. The Yaki Minog, as we talked about, is yes, based on what we have printed as the Chama, but they had a different gear, so that's fine. Bala Tos, I believe, himself and discussed that. Anyway, for our purposes, what's that Machlok is about? Tan Rabbana, Bechami Omrim, Dunli, Dain, Dagra, Mosin, and Kos. First, you wash your hands, and then you pour a cup, okay? If you don't do that, first you would pour the cup and do Kiddush first. then we have a gzeira, we have a problem, perhaps what might happen, Shema Yitamu Mashkin Chachare Kos, Machma Yadav, Vihazar Vitamu at a kos. Okay? We're afraid that there's going to be some liquids on the backside of the cup. Right? It could be shake a little bit, it could be it's moist, the cup could be wet, or because you just washed it, or because kosher bracha usually wash, or because tam, it could be some grape juice spilled out. So Yichazar Vitamu at a kos is gonna make the cup tame. Okay, so let me explain a lot, just a quick Tumah in the background. The rules of Tumah generally are, there's an Ava Tumah, things that are the primary source of Tumah, like a Sheret, a dead ronin, one of the eight things of the Torah satisfies, or an Avela dead carcass, or Chas Shalom, someone dies, and that's an Aviavos Tumah, somebody who comes in contact with the dead is called an Ava Tumah, a primary source of Tumah. Zav, Zav, Nida, all those are Ava Tumahs. Okay? The Ava Tumah then touches something else, usually makes a Rishon Tumah, makes it a first degree, first derivative of Tumah, first degree Tumah. Then that Rishon L'Tumah could sometimes touch something else and make a Shein L'Tumah. This idea of having a Rishon touch something and make a Shein L'Tumah does not exist by people and by Kalim Midaraisa. Midaraisa, the only by people and by Kalim, those are the most chashuv things in the world, then you can't have a Shein L'Tumah. Midaraisa, it doesn't exist. The only thing is, Midarabanan, they're mitaking that Kalim can become a Shein L'Tumah under certain circumstances. When a liquid touches them, Midrabanan, they can become a Shein L'Tumah because of gzira of liquids that are an Ava Tumah. There are some liquids that are Shein L'Tumah, there are some liquids that are Rishon L'Tumah, but there are some liquids that are an Ava Tumah. What is that? Like Roke of a Zav, Spit of a Zav, or Meir Glaim of a Zav, or a Zav, or a Nida, or the same, or any of the fluids and liquids, the normal body liquids of a Zav, Zav, and Nida are all Tumah, Ava Tumah, those the Roke of a Zav. So his spit is Ava Tumah. So we always make a gzira. Every liquid that's Tumah, Midrabanan, it's totally Midrabanan. Every liquid that's Tumah, even if it's a Mabash Shein L'Tumah, the thing it should touch, it becomes Mabash like a Shlisha L'Tumah. It's not true. In fact, it makes the next thing a Rishon L'Tumah, because we pretend like it's a Ava Tumah, and it could even metame a Kli. It can't metame a person, but except that it can metame part of a person, it can metame just the hands of a person. There's Tumas Yadayim is very makel, and very machmir. We have lots of gezeiros on the Yadayim person. So just a review. Usually, Ava Tumah makes a Rishon L'Tumah, Rishon L'Tumah makes a Shein L'Tumah, Shein Yishlishi, Yishlishi Ravi, up to Chamishi. That's as much as Tumah exists in the world. But from Shein Yishlishi Ravi on, Midaraisa and Chamishi, from 2, 3, 4, 5, those only don't, that do not exist by Midaraisa for a person or Caleb. The only Midaraisa that could exist is by food. By Truma and Kachim and Paraduma food and stuff like that. There's only thing it could exist by is by food, not by or animals, whatever, dead animals, same story, food. But it cannot exist by people or Kalim. Midirabanan, they made lots of humras, which are generally Tuma goes down in level. The one major exception is liquids always go up in level to a region of the Tuma. There's no such thing as a an Avatuma. There's no such thing as a Tummy liquid Midirabanan that's treated not as a Avatuma. We always treat the liquid that's tummy, always like an avatumah. So therefore, if it was, a Shein L'Tumah made the liquid tummy, it goes back to being a Rishon L'Tumah for certain purposes, or a Rishon L'Tumah touches it, becomes like an avatumah and so on and so forth. It always becomes like an avatumah. An avatumah can metame a person or a kalim to become a Rishon L'Tumah, but liquids, since there's just a gzera, they don't have the same power to metame adam and kalim. They only metame kalim, and they only metame Adam in limited ways, only a person up to their hands, and for a kli, it can metame a kli from the inside, completely from the outside of a kli, only just the outside of the kli, not the full kli inside and out. Okay, and generally with kelim midaraisa, there's only one thing that can metame a kli inside or out. Either way, can metame both sides. But when you have this gezeir tumas mashkin, that's metame. If it's on the outside, then it's only metame midarabanan on the outside. Right. So let's see inside each step of the process. So Vichame says, is there anything not clear? Please ask. So what's the pshat? The Chama says your hands, the yadayim, are generally a shein l'tumah. That's just a gzeir d'rabbanan. The yadayim is cutting the same. Maybe they went and touched something that was tummy. So we treat a person's hand, midrabbanan, to be tummy shein l'tumah. And the Chama also holds you're not allowed to use a cup for kiddush that's tummy. You're not allowed to use a cup that's tummy. You have to use a tahar cup. We'll discuss that soon. Why? But that's a rule. That's not discussed right in this page. It's discussed later. On the next element. But if that's true, we're afraid if you're going to do Kiddush with hands that are Tameh, you didn't wash your hands yet. So what's going to happen is there's going to be some liquids on the outside of the cup. And then you're going to touch your hands are Shein L'Tumah. That's going to Tameh the liquids. And the liquids are now Tameh, like Ava Tumah. They're now going to Tameh the cup. They're going to make the backside of the cup Tameh. That's what's going to happen? And then Beit Shammai says, then you're not allowed to make Kiddush. Just get rid of that cup, get some other cup, whatever. It's a problem. You're not allowed to do this. So therefore, Beit Shammai says you are supposed to wash your hands first, and then you will do the Kiddush. Good. And this way, once you do that, then problem solved, your hands are tar. I don't really care if the kli is tummy on the outside, nothing to really worry about. You're going to use a tahar cup to begin with, so your hands will not become tummy, your food won't be tummy, and that's a great story. That's Beit Shammai's sheet. Now the Gemara has a few questions along with Beit Shammai, and it should follow from everything we said. Uli tami yadayim lakos. Gemara says, what's the point of the liquids? Forget the liquids. Just say a more direct connection. Simply, the minute that my hands are tame, shnias lotoma, always they're shnias lotoma, they touch the cup, they should automatically be tame the cup. And if they're going to be tame the cup, well then that should violate the rules according to Beit Shammai automatically without any liquids, that you're not allowed to use a tame cup for kiddush. My hands are always shnias lotoma unless I wash them, and therefore they're shnias lotoma. Can't touch the cup if they touch the cup. They're going to make it tame in some way, and therefore you're not going to make it kiddush. The Gemara says, no. Yadayim shnias. Hands generally, there's almost like a yadayim about yadayim. There's a ding derabana that yadayim are always considered like a shani of the toma because they might have touched something without realizing. Ain shani ozer shlishi b'chulin elaide mashkin. There's no such thing as a shani making a kli to be a shlishi for rules of chulin for kachim and for paradim. We have other chumras I didn't get into, but there are chumras even there. A kli can become more than a shani, but let's just assume for now, like Gemara says over here, there's no such thing that a kli can only become either raisa tamei from an avatoma, and this is certainly not an avatoma. There's a shani of the toma, but even midirabana when they made the gzeir on it, it was only in a limited fashion. It was only a day mashkin, but not from another shani of the toma. My hands being a shani of the toma have no power, no effect on the kli, and the kli is absolutely tar. Bithil. So therefore, we understand Beit Shammai. Bithil now says. Period. We're worried that I'm going to use a tummy cup because the Hill says you're allowed to use a tummy cup for kiddush. So I'm going to use a tummy cup for kiddush. My hands, I just washed my hands. So he says, look, what's going to happen? So if I'm going to wash first. Then I'm going to make kiddush. Then I'm going to eat my bread. The point of washing before you eat bread, generally speaking, is a gezeira of when the Kohanim used to eat truma. We don't have truma anymore, so it's not a problem. But when we did, then they used to have tahar hands to eat truma. So a takana. All Kohanim, anything that they eat, they should wash their hands before they eat it in order that their hands should be tahar. And another takana besides that was not just for Kohanim, it was for everybody. Even when we don't have a base of kiddush, everybody washes their hands before they eat bread. They wash their hands, and that's all it was. Their hands shouldn't be tame. Good. So says Beit Hill, if I'm going to use a tame cup for kiddush, I'm going to wash my hands before I do kiddush. I'm going to wash my hands. My hands are going to be tar. Now I'm ready to make a moti. Problem is, I'm supposed to make kiddush. I'm going to do washing, and then I'm going to do kiddush. Wait, I make kiddush. And now, if I'm going to do kiddush, I'm going to use the tame cup, because I'm allowed to use the tame cup according to Hill, and there's going to be some liquids on the outside of the cup. So then, that's going to be tame. My hands, shabba yitame mashkin, should be a dime. The liquids on my hands are not going to dry my hands so well necessarily, and then there are going to be liquids on the outside of the cup, and then what's going to happen is it's going to be tame my hands because of a tame yadayim, and then my hands are going to be tame, but I can't continue eating the bread. I can't eat the bread. I'm going to eat the bread. My hands are tame eating the bread, and that's exactly not supposed to do that. Venime kos leinayim. Wait a minute. According to Beit Hill, forget the liquids. What is a more direct connection? The tame cup is going to be tame your hands. Where's the nerve? People don't become tame from kalim unless they're an avatom. Ain't kli tame avatom. No such thing. A kli can't matame a person ever. What's it's avatum? Venimi lavashkin shabatocho. And generally, a kli is almost never, ever an avatum. Mishkav and Moshkav is like a particular case when a nida sits on a bed or something like that. But that's the exception to the rule. Anyway, nimi lavashkin shabatocho. That we should say liquids in the inside will become tame. So, how for Beit Hill? Are we only worried about your hands becoming tame? Why are we worried that if you're using a tame cup, the liquids inside should become tame, and then maybe you should be able to make kiddush on that? Where's the no. We're talking about a kli that's only partially tame. On the outside tame, on the inside tame. Since the inside tar, you don't have to worry about the inside. The inside is going to be the one for kiddush is all good. And we're only about the outside. We're only worried about the liquids on the outside touching your hands and tame everything else. Fine, says the Gemara, did not. Kli shenimu achorav v'mashkin achorav tamei. If usually when you're matame a kli, it's matame inside and outside. So that's the rule.
But with this gezeira, the liquid, that only applies to the inside, not the outside.
Tocho v'agnav v'aznav v'yadav t'horin, the inside will still be tar. The agno is the rim, the lip of the kli, azno, the handle of the kli, v'yadav, a different part of the handle. One second. Ozen is, like a small part of the handle. Good. Handle a barrel and handle of like a pot. All right. Thank you. Yeah, so different types of handles. Tahor in there, tahor, nema, tahor, nema, kula.
If you touch the inside of kli, comes tame, then you're done. Then the whole kli is tame. But anyway, there is such a thing as having an outer side of a kli to be tame. Mike, mifligi, what's the machloket? Maybe try, it's really driving this machloket, bicham, bichil. Bicham is hamri. Also, the shamish be kli shenimu achoro, bimashkin. You cannot use a tame kli for a kiddush. And Behil says you can. Now, what's behind that discussion? Why does Behil Bishami say that's also? Because Gazir Mishum Nitzotzot. We're afraid that there's going to be some liquids that spill. And then we're going. That's going to, if liquids spill from inside the cup to the outside of the cup, then that's going to cause, and the outside of the cup is already Tame, as we said, that's going to Metame those liquids. And then it's going to Metame my hands. And then, okay, then it's going to be a problem for Hamotzi, it's going to be a problem for Kiddush, so you don't want my hands to be Tame for that. Okay. Fine. So Beit Shammai says the reason you can't use a Tame cup is because we're afraid there's going to be liquids between the cup and your hands, because Nitzotza, something might spill from the cup outside of the cup. Beit Hillel Savri, Motel Shammai Shaklishin of Achor B'mashkin, Amri, it's not so common that you're going to have that there's going to be liquids that are going to spill out of the cup. You don't have to overflow the cup. So it's not going to be wet. If it's not going to be wet, we don't even make any theories about this. Even if you use a tummy cup, not a problem. Fine. Good. And then once he's not worried about it, the kli is tummy, well then he's going to tell you, better, it's fine to use a kli that's tame. Well, then he's going to say it's better to first do kiddush. If the kli is not going to be tame, it's not going to be wet, it's not going to be top of your hands, no problem. Then go wash and make hamotzi. Says the Gemara, Ika lemecha shami yitamu mashkin shviyadayim machmat hakos. And if that's not the problem, we're not worried about the liquids from inside the cup coming out and being matame the hand from time of the hands. I'm worried about something else. Maybe if I'm going to wash before I do hamotzi, maybe then there'll be liquids on the cup, and I'm using a tame cup. Shemi tamu mashkin should be a dime mach menakos. The tame liquids or whatever liquids will be on the outside of a tame clay. They'll matame mashkin should be a dime mach menakos. They're going to come tame from the coast and they're going to matame my hands. Okay. Dvar Achir, another reason, nothing to do with Tumantar, another reason to say like Beit Hillel, that we should do Kiddush, wash, and then Hamotzi, Techel into the Yadayim, Suda. This way, first you wash, and then you have the Hamotzi immediately. You should do them back to back, washing and then Hamotzi. My Dvar Achir, what's the second reason? Because really, the reason for Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was everything began with whether it's a Gezeirah of Mashkin Nitzotzen, things spill. Once we know about that machlokas, and then Mimela, everything follows. So, what was the overall reason for Beit Hillel? Besides the Gezeira, is it common or not common? He added a different reason. According to you, that you can't use a Tamei thing, to Gezerin Mishim Nitzotzen. So, for you, there's no longer my reasons, not compelling. For you, there is a Gezeira. So my reasons are none of my reasons are compelling. I have a different, totally different reason. Okay. Any questions on this? A little complicated. All right. First, you wipe your hands if you want to wipe your hands on a napkin, and it gets wet, so you put it on the table, and Behil says you put it on the pillow. On the table. If you put it on the pillow, we're afraid that there's going to be liquids on this napkin from where you just dried your hands, and it's going to become tame from the pillow, and then it's going to be tame your hands, and therefore you should put it on the table. That's Beit Shammai.
the table's not going to be tame. He holds the table, are not, you can't use the table, it's tame, and therefore, you put it on the pillow, and we're not worried it's going to be tame your hands. So, you, meaning the pillows could be tame, the table's not tame, therefore you want to put it on the table. Why don't we say that the, even before, when you originally took the napkin, before you washed your hands on it, it's going to, shouldn't the pillow matame the napkin? Or no, inkle matame click. Two kalim are not matame one another without any liquids. Why don't we say he's sitting on a pillow? What is that matame? Answer is inkle matame adam. Same thing. A kli is not matame a person. Behel omrim. You can put the napkin back on the pillow. Maybe we're worried that you can't put the napkin back on the table, because if you put it on the table, then it's going to be tame liquids. There's liquids on the table, and the table could be tame. Then the liquids on the table are going to be tame the napkin, and then when you touch it again, it's going to be tame the foods, if it touches the foods. So don't put it on the table, rather put it on the pillow. Why don't we just say, if you're using a tame table, it's going to be tame the food directly? That even if the table is tame, it's only going to be a sheni l'toma, and therefore, you don't have to worry about it being tame the food directly, it won't be tame except with liquids in between. Maybe a tame sabri also the tame shulchan sheni, gzeira mishum ochle truma, vidal sabri, what does the tame shulchan sheni ochle truma, because it's the reason here. Underlying the machloka is whether or not you're allowed to use the table that's tame, and Bihel says you can use the tame table, whatever you can put, cannot put your napkin on the table, you put it on the pillow, and Bichame says, but the table is fine, the table is going to be tar, and because someone who's eating truma can't eat there, so because of that, you never use the tame table, therefore you put the napkin on the table, Bihel says, the people eat truma are going to be very careful to tar, we're not making gzeira because of everybody else, for that reason. Another reason Bihel added to emphasize what he was saying is because underlying the machloka is really gzeira. Are we worried about the Ochle Truma? And he gave another reason to support his opinion that we don't have until this diet for Chulin, so it shouldn't be that we should worry about having a Tamei table for Chulin. Right? We're not so worried about that. It's not the rights of the whole thing is there, but therefore we shouldn't make gazeres because of that. Why are you worried more about the food than the hands? Why am I worried more about the food than the hands? That we're worried that the mapa is going to become tame when it's sitting on the shulchan. And then liquids are going to touch it, or liquids on the mapa are going to become tame, and metame the mapa and the liquids. And then the mapa is going to go touch food. What am I worried about that? Why am I not worried about my hands? That, according to Beit Hillel, if the napkin becomes tame, am I metame my hands? The Gemara says, that's not such a big deal. Now that we're worried about food, we're not worried about hands. That's what Beit Shammai would ask Amin Olel. Avilachi, the answer is because, bottom line, he thinks that if you're awfully truma, you're going to be careful. And it could be that the pills are tame, it's going to be tame your liquids on your hand, and the tame, the napkin, and the tame your hands. But he's not worried about that. You're not going to be, well, it's not always going to happen. That you make sure that the napkin's not wet if it's touching the tummy pillows. Anyway, so he has another reason to say what he's saying, even though that is a concern, you can distinguish between the two, but still, their hands becoming tummy is only all durabun to begin with, and therefore, the food becoming tummy, that is more serious than your hands becoming tummy. I'm less worried about your hands becoming tummy from the napkin on the pillow. I'm more worried about the napkin on the table being the tummy of the food on the table. Because that's a deraisa din. It's possible for food to become tummy deraisa. I'll tell you, Oakland day, it'll become deraisa. Hands will become as long as ever durable. I know it's really 8. I'm going to go another 2 minutes, just if you have to go. Just up to the next steps. If you're gonna sweep and then do wash your hands for Mai Machronim, which one comes first? Bichami says you first sweep and then you do wash your hands. First, if you're gonna wash your hands and then you sweep, could be there's crumbs of bread all around from what you eat, and you're gonna spritz some of the Mai Machronim onto the crumbs. It's gonna make the crumbs ruined, and you're not supposed to maps in food. Until you down the Bichami. Tchila lo sfir lehu. My time of mishum. What's that? Like yourself. Yeah, they cut out those words. Fine. Either way, the words are my time. What shot in Beit Shammai? What do they say? There's crumbs on the ground, and they're going to be maps in the food. We shouldn't worry about crumbs that are still there. If you have a servant that's taking care of the food that's cleaning up after you, so normally perun sheish mehem kazai, if you're going to pick up the big pieces, there's sazak kazai. But near perun sheish mehem kazai, and therefore, if you pick up the pieces, there's sazak kazai. All the food's going to destroy any of the crumbs. All the water is going to destroy any of the crumbs. It's only going to be small because you don't have to worry about the size of the Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan perun sheish mehem kazai. Much of the abdon the yad, you can destroy bread that's less than the size of the zemek. Could also be shami sabri the hill sabri. Also the shami shami sabri arik. The hill says you have to use a servant who knows the halacha, and everybody's going to pick up some big pieces of bread. Fine, and therefore we'll worry that they're going to be crumbs there, if they can't wash your hands there, if you have to sweep before you wash. Basically, whether we call Beit Shammai over here. Tomorrow we're going to be in the next room to the left because of the report. All right, so any questions? I know this is